Welcome to Breaking Bread, hosted by me and Lando. First off, before I get to my little spill, Lando, what's up, bro? How you doing? How you feeling?
Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. I'm doing well. Excited to have some of these guests on. Tight cheek moments coming later this week for everyone here. I'm sure we can all believe. So it's good to have this little kind of midweek moment. What are we, Wednesday? Yeah, hump day. So, We're close, but let's have some fun while we're not there yet.
Let's. Breaking Bread is a show where we break verbal bread with a quote-unquote enemy. Whenever Manchester City has an upcoming match, we will be here having a conversation with a supporter of City's upcoming opponent. Shout out to all those watching on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. Subscribe to the channel. Thumbs up. Hit that button. Spam it, like, share, all those things. To all you lovelies watching the replay, I appreciate you. All you people just doing audio only. You didn't have time for YouTube. You're just like, I'll listen to it on my headphones while I'm doing things. Appreciate you as well.
That's my wife. Shout out to those people. That's my wife.
Oh, Sunday morning. Manchester City welcomes Salt Bae's bestie, Mikel Arteta, and his squad of gooners to the Etihad in a match where one point could be seen as a positive and a losing could be seen as a death sentence to the season. Can Manchester continue their hot streak? More importantly, will Rodri continue his undefeated streak? Has Arteta learned from his mistakes last season? And more importantly, will Arsenal be wearing the correct socks? I joke, I kid. To help me cover the
back. Oh!
Shots going before they can even get in. You know, I just got to get them in. That's all before I turn on and do the gracious host type of thing. Shady Game. To help us cover the battle between first and third. We're the ones in third, so that's not great. I have a few friends with me. Shady Game. Show some love to Mac and Paulina. Hopefully Byron will be with us shortly. How's it going?
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man.
I'm not too worried about this match, but I don't know if it's because I think Man City is going to win or if my brain just refuses to think about the match. I'm trying to figure that out at this moment.
I think we need to first address attire here, because quite frankly, you can talk about fandom art that you want, but we need to have a self-reflection moment, because everyone in the stream currently is rocking some sort of team merchandise and gear. Okay, we have good old Mac with a beautiful kit. We have Paulinho, who's following it up with a kit. Clearly I have a shirt on, and I'm gonna actually take it a step further. I'm actually rocking some comfy loafers over here as well, so I definitely think I'm winning. But Krunk, sir, we just threw on a scarf. We're acting like you couldn't even at least cover your screen and did that. You had to have no shame. Just grab a scarf.
I was wearing this the whole time. You didn't see it? How did you not see it? It's so obvious.
Yeah, that's on me. Yeah, that's my point guard with no vision clearly misses the fact that you had a scarf on the whole time. My bad.
I had to. I'm trying to show how relaxed and carefree I am about this match, the tropical box, you know?
I get it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not worried about no Arsenal, as you can tell by my attire.
For the record, he's the only one that can say that, because I am worried. So let that be noted.
How are you two feeling about the lead up to this match? How has this week been for you?
Paulina, go ahead, take it first.
Honestly, forgot about it. Because my birthday's on Saturday, so I know. I'm gonna be hungover. I already know it. So I can only go into this match with good vibes only and carefreeness.
Love that from you.
Birthday wishes to make, and you best believe I will be using all of them on Arsenal winning.
That's fair.
That is, unfortunately.
Ugh, yeah, man. I'm the exact opposite, I'll be honest. I hate international breaks. Like, the world hates international breaks, right? But agreed. Just knowing that there were a solid 2.5 weeks in between the last time we played and just like having this looming on the horizon for all that time. Horrible. I mean, just hell for me. My stomach's in knots, and it's only, when are we recording? Is this a Wednesday? It's a Wednesday. It's only Wednesday. So yeah, man. I'm petrified, but that's always how I get. I also have Saturday plans, Paulina, and all in told, I'm actually seeing my local DC United, shout out. They got a game going on this Saturday night. I'm going to be down there with a couple of buddies. And, you know, if they lose, that's all my bad luck for the weekend. If they win, it's a good sign. Either way, Arsenal taking the dub this weekend, God willing. Yeah, man. Cool. Pleasure to be here. Pleasure. I'm genuinely so nervous. Like, if you see my hand shaking or anything during this podcast, it's because I've been living up to this for weeks. Biggest fixture of the year. We knew it coming in. And I didn't think, even Arsenal fans, a lot of us, I don't know if you can confirm this, I'm not sure how much we realized this match would matter. Like, of course, it was everything last year, but I'm not sure many fans, Premier League worldwide, could have predicted a three-horse title race and could have predicted this fixture being as crucial for both of our teams as it is. So, yeah, man, that's where my head's at. I'm a nervous wreck, but hopefully it doesn't come through too much.
I guess the difference between, like, me and you for sure is that, oh, I already know it's the hope that kills us.
Fair.
And so I tried. I'm pleasantly surprised every week because I just don't get my hopes up ever.
I don't have that gene. I come in with hopes sky high every week, and my weekend tends to depend on the results.
You know, oh, I'm not gonna lie. I'm yeah, like crunk that too, because like I have a boyfriend who does not watch sports at all.
Oh Lord,
does not like it. But he started keeping up with Arsenal news because he knows that his weekend also depends on it. Because if my mood is bad,
fair play.
He knows he's in a
there you go.
And same with you. I'm watching my local sports team on Saturday. I watch USL though, so Phoenix Rising. So that's gonna be a birthday game, and hopefully that goes well. And then Arsenal the next day.
That's so dope. Oh yeah.
Well, let's start somewhere easy, somewhere nice, somewhere light. Paulina, please let Shady Gang know, how did you become a fan of Arsenal?
Funny story. Actually, not that funny. I used to go to this. I go to this bar called Yucca Taproom a lot, and they're an Arsenal bar. I never even realized they were. One day my friend just asked if I wanted to watch some matches with him because he knew that I watched Mexican League. So I was like, sure. What I didn't know is that we were watching like the replays a day later. And then he moved away and I got stuck watching Arsenal. And I say stuck because it was during Unai Emery. time.
Wow.
So I was not having fun. But here we are. Now I have a fucking Arsenal tattoo, and he doesn't even watch Arsenal anymore. So
what the fuck? So he planted a seed.
He won. That's all I'm saying.
He watered it with the bar and just left.
Yeah, he did ask me. And he didn't tell me when he was moving away either. He just like he left. He just bounced.
And we have a new incoming, technically for us, it's an opponent, but for you guys, it's part of your group, your gang. This is the homie. He's been on Lit Stream. Did we do a Breaking Bread for Arsenal also? Yes.
Yeah, we did. We did.
And it's funny because Shady Gang responded. They were just like, oh, he's so reasonable as an Arsenal fan. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, if Shady Gang loves them, and very rarely do I get it, and I had to have him back, but I wanted to bring a couple other people that I knew might raise up Conte, which I'm a little worried about, because I think by the end of this, you three might become a symbiotic person and just be throwing like flamethrowers at us at the end of this. So I'm hoping you guys don't mesh very well. I hope, in fact, you clash with each other, and it doesn't go well. I'm just kidding. I mean, for the sake of Conte. I hope things go well. But good game. Please give it up for Byron.
Yes, let's go. It's great to be here.
All you Gunners, we're currently telling everybody's Arsenal origin stories. Paulina was finishing her story, so we'll go back to you.
Yeah, so like I was saying, he brought me into Arsenal during the worst season ever. And then just got up and moved one day, and then I stayed an Arsenal fan.
I can't believe Ben's quit. I hope you still give him crap to this day. If you communicate with this person, it'd be like, you quitter, you're shameful.
I don't know where he is anymore. He like straight disappeared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's not that you don't know if he supports Arsenal anymore. He could just be, literally be gone. Like, you don't even know what he's doing. Mm-mm. Love it. All right, Mac. What about you?
Gunner. Whale. For those of you on the live stream, you might notice that I look a good deal younger than a majority of the folks here. I don't know about y'all. I am the tender age of 23. So my Arsenal journey started when I was legit a kid. On like my youth soccer team, one of my best buddies had lived in, he was originally the year above me in school, had lived in London for a year because of his dad's job, and came back a raging Arsenal fan. And we would all come together at one of our houses after rec soccer games to, you know, watch the Premier League, watch the highlights, watch match of the day. He got me pretty quickly obsessed with Arsenal, and then it kind of continued. I found like another family at the school where I went whose dad was a big Arsenal fan, and he used to take us down to back in, I'm from DC, and the current Arsenal bar was not the former one. It was a place called Lucky Bar. And we used to go down and get like breakfast sandwiches every morning, every Saturday, Sunday, watch the match. And that kind of became a new tradition. So by the time they started televising it regularly, I was already addicted. And, you know, it's just grown from there, man. I've been an Arsenal supporter for easily over half of my life, which is weird to think about, but it's cool.
I mean, I don't love it because, you know, it's Arsenal, but I love the story. It's great. I love your love, you know? Love is love. What about 100%. You, Byron? Beist.
So yeah, no, I love that, Mac. Like you actually chose Arsenal when we were in the trenches, man. Like that's fantastic.
Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you missed it. Paulina became a supporter during the Unai Emery era.
Oh, the true trenches. Yes.
She's got it worse than I do.
Yeah. All right. I would show up home crying, and that's why my boyfriend would that's why he started keeping Arsenal news.
That's great. Yeah. No, real quick. So I became an Arsenal fan because I was swept up in the fandom of Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry when they were just out, like collecting bodies, just, you know, tossing Premier Leagues aside. Of course, they struggled slightly in the Champions League. That's a whole nother story, but just seeing what Thierry Henry did in the Premier League, I was like, yeah, I'm sold, because he was just cold-blooded. Like, we haven't had a cold-blooded striker like him in years. So I really liked how his presence on the pitch. I liked how people don't realize this. He was actually an excellent passer. He wasn't all about just scoring goals. There were times when he could finish from the left-hand side, and he would just see someone out of the corner of his eye and feed that person. And that person would score a goal. So, yeah, Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp, that was like, that was my jam. I loved it. It was amazing.
That's a good, I mean, it's solid. And yeah, Thierry Henry, KDB's going to break that assist record eventually. It's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah, he's there.
If Raheem Sterling wasn't Raheem Sterling, he would have broke it a while ago. But I don't want to talk about him right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Said that.
I bring up Sterling. Why did I do that? I just upset myself.
Not wrong, though. Not wrong.
Oh, man.
All my homies say Sterling. All my homies say Sterling.
I want to start here with transfers, but I don't want to talk about the transfers from the previous season. What I want to discuss are future transfers. This is the time of the season where I kind of get interested in the rumor mill that lasts for about a month. And then I start telling my show bros, hey, we ain't talking about none of this stuff until something concrete happens. I'm the worst. I will force us all to talk about it nonstop for a month. And then I'm like, no more of it. I don't know how they put up with me, but they do.
I'm bugging the shit out of them, putting the transfer links in the chat too, by the way. Just for the- I doing the eyes. I show them the eyes and send them hella links all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, but Manchester City, they're tied to a few names. Have already signed Sabio from Girona, who replaces Echeverri. Have already been announced. So, my esteemed panel of guests, could you let us know the players who are linked to Arsenal are the positions the club are looking to upgrade?
Yeah. Mac, you want to go first? I can.
Yeah, I'll run it. I mean, general positions, we're looking across the board. We're looking at a winger. We need backup on both wings, and I think we're looking for someone two-sided. A lot of the rumors are coming out about different strikers. That's kind of been the main controversy. But there have also been a lot of reports that we're looking at one or two central midfielders as well. Some replacements for folks like Jorginho and number five and a couple of our other, you know, folks within the crew. Yeah.
Respect.
So I think, yeah, exactly. I'll get midfielders out of the way. One of the players we've been linked to really often is Martin Zubimendi from Real Sociedad.
Oh, back off.
He's been linked to City. He's been linked to Leverkusen. It's no mistake that Xabi Alonso, Luis Enrique at PSG, Arteta, Pep, all of these, you know, managers want him because he's an unbelievable player. I see him as almost a perfect Jorginho replacement, you know, a passer from deep, an orchestrator. We've seen how much Jorginho can unlock Declan Rice and really have our offense ticking over, and getting a player in like him to kind of continue that future with even a little bit more poise. I find that Zubimendi plays a little more boring than Jorginho does, but still has kind of a lot of those same abilities. He's real
boring. Is very good.
Boring is especially good, especially for Arteta. Arteta loves boring, you know. And Zubimendi's the future of that. So I think central midfield, he's been the one name that has kind of been on everybody's lips. There have been a lot of crazy links to players like Florian Wirtz at Leverkusen, who just put
up. So are you guys just jacking everything we're doing?
I mean,
you guys
pretty much to do
our scouting systems as well.
Something like that, but you know,
we're hacked in, man.
Yeah, that's the one. We're locked in. We're competing at your level, frankly, for the first time in about two decades, and that means a lot of those same players are coming across the links. I mean, y'all can have Lucas Paqueta. We don't need him at all. But yeah, Wirtz just uploaded a profile picture of him and Kai Havertz from their recent international excursion. So the links have been renewed afresh. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at with midfielders at the moment.
Okay, well, let's stay with these names. I don't even really want to add on to them because you gave me plenty to like taste off of. Because first off, wingers is kind of crazy when you have like Trussard and obviously Reece Nelson. You guys are just going to toss him to the side. How rude of you guys. But midfield is wild because Zubimendi, actually, I'm very okay if you guys get Zubimendi, because if you guys take Zubimendi, then that might force us to get João Neves. And I would much rather have João Neves.
He's a hooper. He's so good.
Paqueta, he's great. I understand why people want him. I think just Pep is more in love with him than, I mean, he's a very talented player, but I don't know. I don't know. But if you guys take, again, if you guys take Wirtz, that gives us Jamal Musiala, because that's who I really want. I want Jamal Musiala, like, so bad. So if you guys take Wirtz, we take Musiala, you take Zubimendi, we get Neves. I think everybody can end up happy. Paulina, like, we discussed pre that, you know, stats and all these things aren't necessarily your vibe. How are you on transfers? Like, what do you think? Are there any players out there that you see that makes you think, yeah,
no, transfers are really bad for my health.
True.
I feel that.
Paying attention to that, like, it's so much anxiety, and I'm not an anxious person. Like, so getting anxious, then I'm like, I don't know. I just don't pay attention to it. I'm in a group chat that keeps me updated, and they can keep me updated. I'll skim through, but I don't pay attention until it's 100% concrete, because even rumors that I thought were super true and were like, oh yeah, we fucking have that in the bag, and the next thing you know, it falls through, I get super fucking upset. So I just, not for me. I don't pay attention to it. The only thing I know is that Ramsdale's probably leaving. That makes me really, really sad. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
I mean, that's why I say I'm like, if I'm into transfers for a month and then I'm out of here. And then I'm sorry, Byron.
No, you're good. No, I definitely agree with that. And I don't know, we're kind of jaded as Arsenal fans, because there's always these transfer rumors that come up. We're linked to this person, we're linked to that person. I remember, oh my gosh, it's been years, but when Arsene Wenger was in charge, he bid for Luis Suarez. And
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew you were going to bring that up.
And he actually, he unlatched that bid by, I think he bid over like it was, they asked for like, it was like 40 million in £1 or something like that for their release clause. And he bidded 40 million in $1. So after that point, I don't really care about transfers, like whatever. So until we're actually like concrete and serious about, you know, targeting people, which I think we've gotten a lot better with over the past two cycles, I don't care. Whoever shows up in August or July, I'm going to be hyped to have them here. That's it. One thing I did want to touch on, though, that I think we really need. Oh, my gosh. Can Saka get some rest? Can we get like a serviceable backup, please? Because if, God forbid, something happens, I'm not even talking something catastrophic. I'm talking about like dead leg or, you know, just some sort of minor injury. We're SOL, because I love Reese. I love Reese so much, but he's just not a Saka replacement. We need a 1A and a 1B on the right side. Trossard and Martinelli, they offer us different things on the left side, but I truly think they're 1A and 1B, because either of them, I'm comfortable with them starting on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, if I don't see Saka out there, I get nervous. It might just be me, but hey, that's just how I feel.
Byron, to your point, I'd be remiss without talking transfers in Arsenal. I've seen this guy's name linked so much lately. Victor Gorokis, I think I'm pronouncing that last name right, from Sporting Lisbon. That guy, yeah, I've been working on my Greek. You heard?
That was good. You got the Grokis.
Yeah, bro, he's really, really good. I actually rate him. I my stepmother's Portuguese. I watch a lot of Liga NOS. So I get clips. I say I watch a lot of Liga NOS. Probably total this whole year, over under 400 minutes, I'd say under. But I've watched clips more than anything. Kid's a baller. That's a perfect solution to what your problem, or what you're suggesting now, right?
He's a striker, though. He's a striker. Pure. He is a pure number nine. But to Byron's point, names linked, players like Brian Mbeumo at Brentford. Nico Williams has been linked to everybody because he's basically the best winger on the market right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different options. I think
I will hate you if you get Nico Williams.
Dude, I want him. I want him so badly.
He's a baller.
I also think there's a chance that Jesus is a great right wing backup. I mean, he hooped earlier this year in a lot of our games against the Big Six. He's good there, played there a lot for City. You guys will be familiar with his influence out on the right wing, but he's, you know, a bit part option, right? He can come in if he needs to, but yeah, I think there's a chance. I also think Mikel might honestly see Trossard's future at the number nine at that center forward position, because he's been playing there a lot recently. So I don't know, man. I think a two-sided winger is something to watch out for.
Would you be comfortable?
Because I love Trossard.
True.
Love Trossard. He has filled that hole that Xhaka left in my heart.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that comparison.
Would you be comfortable with Trossard as your number nine? I know you said he's been playing there more this season, more probably out of necessity. But if that was your option going forward,
Absolutely not, Devin. Get that guy out of my.
Keep Anthony, right?
We don't need more players with bad relationships. All right, we've already got one of them. We got one too many. We don't need more.
Hey, salute to you too for how you introduced him, Mac. Duly noted.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jack.
No. That's cool. I always want to interact with the viewers and listeners, whatever. But I was just wondering if that would be something that you'd be comfortable with going forward. Because again, it's one thing to have him as a you use the term in another setting, bit part player off the bench. But if that was your long term solution at the number nine, is that something you'd be okay with?
I mean, he's 29, right? He's not necessarily a player who I see doing it for 5-6 more years for us. With that said, Kai Havertz has also been pretty exemplary at the number nine. He can fill that role, and assuming Jesus is not on the chopping block for this summer, we'll get at least one good year out of him, maybe two. Right. I think he's still got room for a big move in his career. You know, at a certain point, if we don't address things, we have three really capable options, and three options, each of whom give us something different. So necessarily, you know, if Trossard's at center forward and he's got Havertz and Jesus giving him some help, then I'm not, you know, crying about it, because frankly, we're top of the league right now, and that has been our solution this season. With that said, I think there's always room to improve.
Yeah, Paulina, you want to jump in, and I can jump in.
No, I agree with that, and I think, I like Mac was saying, I don't see it as a permanent solution because Trossard is on the older side as well. I see him transferring to something chiller after this 100%. In the time being, would not mind it at all.
Yeah, but, that's where. Yeah, Saka, go. Sorry, you go ahead.
I was saying, just Saka needs a break.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I'm not one to hate our striker by committee. I like how we play, and I like our tactics where. You know, we have Trossard, who's a number nine, but he's going to float left. And then we have Havertz, who's a midfielder, but he's floating in the middle. So we have all these interchangeable parts, and they're running like figure eights in the center of the pitch. And I'm good with not having like that guy right now, because kind of like what Max said, we're still at the top now. If we were like seventh or eighth, or like starving like Chelsea, if we were up down bad like Chelsea, it'd be a different conversation, but hey, I'm good. We're good. I'm chilling.
But if it was like Chelsea, though,
Chelsea, that would be a different story, and I would be screaming, crying, throwing up.
I feel that so much. Okay, let's move on and focus on Arsenal's roster. Hold on. I got a little ahead of myself. Managers, we know Arteta ball. We know he's a raving lunatic on the sidelines. We even know that he prefers slices of cheap steak fed to him like a good little boy. What I don't know is the adjustments to Arteta's system from last season to now. So I hear a lot that the team is playing more pragmatic, more defensive. But and obviously it's leading to more consistency, better play. You're in first as compared, I mean, around this time, this is actually the beginning. This was when things started to like tip over last season. So you're kind of in the similar position, and it's hard to kind of be like, hindsight, did you see this coming? But because, you know, that's tend to what happened. I don't want to like ask you something that's easy to that. So what is the difference between last season that you've seen to this season? What is he doing differently as to, I guess, maybe the positives? I don't really necessarily care about the negatives.
Yeah, so not to hog it too much, but it's a low buildup, and it's honestly David Raya settling the back line, because I love Aaron. I love how he riles up the visiting supporters. I love that. He talks shit. It's like fantastic, but at the same time, he has those ADHD moments where it's like 30 seconds. We just need you to tighten up, and he doesn't do that. So I think it's Raya settling first of all, and then, you know, having that calm permeate in the back. And there are times when other teams will press, and you know, two people are actually going towards Raya, and he's hanging on to the ball to like the last minute. and then he's pushing it right, and then we're getting up the field. So I think that is the biggest difference. And I'm not going to lie, I was the first one like, what the hell are you doing, Arteta? Why do we have like two goalkeepers that are really good Premier League goalkeepers? But hey, man, he's a lunatic. He's a sicko, and I love it.
Pauline, what are your thoughts?
I am pretty much on the same page. Like, I love Ramsdale so much, but at that point, he was like, once I saw how Raya was doing, Ramsdale's the personality hire. Like, let's be honest. And that's why I love him, because he's a shithouser. Like, I love he's that. The shithousing's not going to prevent people from scoring.
Right.
And Raya is clearly, he has his head in the game. He doesn't want to joke around. And while, like, maybe sometimes that's needed, sometimes it's also, like, what's detrimental.
Yeah. And to pick up that thread as well, I think last year's season was so much about passion and intensity that a player like Ramsdale really thrives in that atmosphere. And, you know, let it not be said that he's not an unbelievable goalkeeper. If anyone remembers that free kick save against James Maddison when he was at Leicester in 2020-2021. I mean, it got save of the year. Like, dude's a great shot stopper. But in terms of really having the composure to play out from the back, Raya's among the best in the world. I mean, listen, Ederson clears. But I think Raya is in the conversation for top three in terms of ball-playing goalkeepers in the world. But in terms of what he's added up the pitch as well, I think it's really, you know, you say Arteta's a freak. He's added some serious freaks to this lineup. Like, how often do you get a player like Kai Havertz, who is 6'5", can win 90% of your aerials, can make sure that the long ball's an option, can give you that dynamism, but who's also really adept technically, good in tight spaces, and can draw fouls like nobody's business. He does this horrible thing where he'll like fake a loose touch and wait for a player to come onto the ball, step in front of him and draw a foul. And I mean, so much of the Arsenal conversation this year has revolved around set pieces. We're scoring from free kicks, from corners, where inventing new things. The moments, in fact, where we've had our worst games are where teams figure out our little tricks, like Porto in that first Champions League game. They, and even in the second one as well, they had tactics specifically designed to mess up our set pieces, and it threw us off our rhythm. And there is no bigger freak, let me tell you, than Declan Rice. Other than being an utter weirdo, I don't think is a player in the world better at winning the ball back. And if you look at City's biggest weakness to compare our two sides, y'all get hit on the counter too much. It's that simple. Because you are so aggressive in your possession, you leave space in behind. And with a player like Declan Rice, again, this is no disrespect to Rodri, because I think he might be the best possession recycler in the world. Rice is nowhere near him technically, but he makes up for that in his ability to stop every single counter. He frees players like Saliba and Gabriel to be physical, to be aggressive, to make sure that the control that Arteta freaking craves is actually something that we're able to instill. That's the difference between him and a player, as Paulina mentioned earlier, like Granit Xhaka, who has that aggression and that tenacity, but the dude's a tortoise. He can't run. He's slow as hell. Like, he's playing in a Leverkusen system right now, which doesn't, you know, necessitate him making those defensive interventions, but just the mobility upgrade and our ability to kind of maintain possession throughout that, I think, is what's led to so much of our increased success, especially past January, right? Because he's brought in players, he's brought in size, he's brought in physicality, and he's brought in players with that mental edge too. That's the other thing. We're still a young-ass team. And to have a few really experienced players, players who will fight in the trenches, but who can also kind of come out and produce moments of composed brilliance, it's that kind, you know, it's that balance, right, that he's been desiring, and he's finally found players who can start to fit that mold.
Yeah, and I actually want to pick up on something that you said, Mac, and also Paulina. Like, y'all talked about these difference makers, right? And then Paulina, you brought up shithousery. Oh my gosh, Kai Havertz is a shithouser. When he pushed the portal manager,
he's awful.
I was not expecting that at all from him.
KDB did it first. To your manager, too. Sorry, I just want to implant ourselves. So we let you guys been talking for a while.
We'll talk about that later.
You guys talk for a while.
We'll get on to it.
I do want to say we do have a young team, but we have a fucking tall ass team this season. They're all 6 foot plus.
Yeah.
Wild.
No, I remember
Kivior Frizenchenko too. Kivior at the back has been another.
Oh, we got we have to touch on that. We do. Please. We have to touch on that for sure.
We'll see what we can do. but I mean, I understand Pep did the same thing. We went from being this team of just like tiny Spanish dudes to we're sizable now. And it's needed, especially in set pieces, the way that you guys y'all are pretty solid at set pieces, so I'll give you that, unfortunately.
Oh, shit, we got a compliment for Krunt. Let's go!
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I didn't expect that. As a matter of fact, if you were handing out compliments, I wouldn't have jumped on the stream. I jumped on specifically and solely to not give them any credit.
That's the one, and I told
Paul. As a matter of fact, I am putting that in my contract from here on out. We are not allowed to give Arsenal any respect if I am on the stream. That is now in my contract. I'm putting it in right now.
I'm okay with that. I will definitely allow that in the contract. Honestly, it's gotten so bad. Lando, the last couple episodes, he's just like, hey, we've actually said the word Arsenal too many times. So this last episode we couldn't say it more than 12 times.
If 15 was the record number.
That's why I'm putting it in my contract. So
I'm all right.
As a matter of fact, I'm gonna unionize all the rest of the gang. And we are not gonna allow this anymore.
Tariq's fed up. Anti-Arsenal
trade union to prevent how rent-free we're living in all y'all heads right now. It's rent-free.
You got to go on another stream and do that.
my goodness. Arsenal's roster. Who this season would you have been, who would you have said has been your standouts for the club, for the squad this season? Who are the players that you would say have been put the team on their back with one leg? Shout out to Greg Jennings on Madden video game. who do you feel has been the standouts? Paulina, I'm actually very interested to hear who your take is with this.
Declan and Kai. I mean, Declan, I expected. Kai caught me by surprise. For sure. I was like, we paid way too much. We paid way too much. And then I'm just he shut me up.
He's been great. I don't think shit. He's been like just his size, and that's really what comes down to a lot of it. I said I don't watch Arsenal games, but that's a lie because I get so angry, and then I turn it on, and I'm like, hey, maybe they'll lose, and then I turn it on, and 2 minutes later they score, and then I throw my phone. But Kai, truly, he just comes in and he's just such a chaos agent. Mac, I've never really thought about the whole where you said he fakes a bad touch, because I've seen it so many times where he takes a bad touch and it looks like a bad touch, and then all of a sudden he has a foul and he's like, what just happened? And he's such a giant dude. You don't know how to handle him. There's no choice but to take him down physically, which earns a foul. He frustrates the crap out of me, and I was really hoping that Arteta wouldn't be able to figure out how to use him. But it very much seems that Arteta has realized, I really don't need to figure out how to use him. I just need to put him in and let him do his fucking thing. Byron, we'll go with you. Who do you feel are your standouts? You can choose someone else, preferably not Declan, because I'm already overhearing his name.
Actually, Mac touched on it earlier, so I'll say this person and another person, but Jakub Kivior, Kivior has been, like, cooking on the left-hand side. Honestly, I trust him on the left more than I do Zinny, and that's not any knock on Zinny, but Kivior can get up the pitch, and he's physical. Like, you can't just run past him. If you do, he's going to tug at your shirt. Like, Zinny, someone gets past, and he's just like, oh, I'm like, come on, man, play some defense. But the second person, and I want to start the fan club, the Gabriel fan club. My bro has been cooking this year. I think he's performed better than Saliba. That's like a curse to say as an Arsenal fan, but he's been solid at the back. He doesn't get any of the praise. He always gets up for headers, always tries to target the goal and things of that nature. Gabriel's my guy. I actually have a kit of his coming. Like, I really want him to get some more love from Arsenal fans. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, Byron.
What do you got? I'm starting the fan club.
Beautiful. Card carrying member over here. Sign me up. Get me on that distribution list, bro. I'll get me on the Substack. Yeah, man. I'd say, listen, I want to touch briefly on Leandro Trossard. Martinelli's had a pretty quiet season. We're playing less chaos ball than we did last year. Teams are sitting the deepest against us, you know, deeper against us than any other team in Europe, statistically true. And he's really struggling to find Martinelli is those spaces in behind, that kind of explosivity. A majority of his goals this year have come on counterattacks, come in transition, and that's less of how we're playing right now. Trossard stepped up. He's an amazing finisher, great technically. I will watch him for 50 minutes and be cursing out his name, and then he will score the game winner. And it happens consistently. He shows up. But listen, he's been our player of the season for the past 2 years. I cannot go for a player of the season conversation without mentioning the one, the only, the Ealing Eusebio, the man, the myth, the legend, our star boy, Bukayo Saka. I mean, superlatives have run out. He's on double digits for goals, double digits for assists, all competitions. He is the player in Europe looking most likely to hit 20 each way this year. And he's had a bad season in a lot of people's views. He's been a little slower. He hasn't been as dynamic. He, you know, y'all, we mentioned earlier, we need a replacement for him. He's been carrying an injury for the last 5 months. Mm-hmm. And for him to still be our top scorer, our top assister, all competitions, for him to be carrying this team the way that he is at 21 years old, like, they released the Premier League nominations for Young Player of the Year, and it's like a few breakout stars, Cole Palmer, and then a player who's been on the list the last 4 years in Bukayo Saka. He's only 21. Mm-hmm. I'm running out of words for this kid, to be honest. Like, the level of consistency that he's achieved at his age, and the fact that even in a system and a season that is looking on paper, even the eye test, he's not quite playing as well as he did last year, but he's still getting the contributions. He's still putting his hat in the ring every single game. And, you know, you expect a player like him who comes to the academy to get kicked out of English football, to get beaten down, right? There is no player in the world that I've seen play with a bigger smile than Bukayo Saka every game. He just does it his own way. And, you know, not to mention Arsenal are a team that has a big history when it comes to recruiting within London, that comes to black excellence. He represents so much of the ethos of this club in so many ways. And to have him consistently on the forefront of everything for us is emotionally special. Not to mention, he's just a damn good footballer. Like, for anyone who says he's not world class, this kid is world class.
Okay,
I was going to say, so I heard you say, and correct me if I don't want to mischaracterize what you're saying, but it sounded like you said that with the eye test, not based on the numbers, but just off the eye test, that maybe Saka is not at the same level that he was last year. Let's say he's maybe a step down, even though he's still producing numbers. I guess my question for you would be, if that's the case, and if that's how you feel, do you think, and again, we're like 10 matches left, can you win the league starting from the position you're in? You're in first place, right? Can you win the league if he is not at his best? If he's a step behind or step off of it, can you win the league?
I think if you were to ask me this question at any point last season, I would have said no. I think if you were to ask me this question, even in like November, December, January of this year, I would have said no. Because during the matches where he was at his worst, we did not look good. During the matches when he was not producing, that's when we went on that losing run this winter, right? When he got truly shut out of a few games. You know, he got double teamed, triple teamed. He was missing minutes due to injury. listen, if he's not on the pitch, I don't think we've got a chance at this title. But frankly, a 70% fit Bukayo Saka is better than, in my mind, still almost any right wing in the league, bar Mohamed Salah, who is the best right wing in the world. I hate to say that as an Arsenal fan. No one wants to talk about Liverpool, so I'll stop. But my point being, you know, teams have started to quote unquote figure him out. But what we've seen is he's had this little mini kind of remontada comeback in January, February, March, where he's learned new tricks. He's been overcoming things. The reason his season has been kind of bad on paper is because he's been put in difficult positions. We've been placing him farther away from the goal. We've been putting him in more creative situations, giving him less scoring opportunities. He's taken everything he's gotten. But I think right now, with the trajectory of this team, even if he's not at 100%, we have started to figure out things in a way that, you know, we've mentioned goals by committee earlier, but this team is ticking in a way that he does not have to be at his best every game for us to win. So
yeah,
last season, I would have told you no chance. This season, I will say there is a chance. I will not give you a percentage as to what that chance is, because frankly, that feels like tempting fate. But at the same time, he's a wonderful player, but we have reached a point with the squad where he is the best of the bunch, but is not the be-all, end-all of our success. So I think that's my answer for you. Yeah, we can win the league if he's not 100%. It'll be hard as hell, but when is it not going to be playing against the teams we're playing against? So, yeah, I think we still got a shot.
And there's no need to even stay on this topic for too long, because I feel like the answer is pretty obvious. But makes me think of this. Theo Walcott, Jack Wilshere, Aaron Ramsey, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. You've had a lot of stars who you've played a lot early and young, and the wheels literally fall off of each one of them. Byron, I'll start with you, and then we can go to Paulina, and then we'll move to the next subject. Are you worried about the same thing with Saka, especially because you are all equally on the same page about we need to find somebody for Saka? Like, is that a fear of that happening as well?
Yeah, and honestly, it is a huge fear of mine, because I feel like the contract's right. I can't say he's overworked and underpaid, right? But he's overworked. And we all know that he's really young right now, but kind of what you're alluding to, Kronk, like, what does this mean when he's 27, 28, 29? Is he just going to burn out? And I think that we have this fiduciary duty to actually think about the long-term ramifications of playing him so much, because right now it's like we're playing like FC 24, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Keep playing the same person over and over again, but he's going to burn out. And not only are his responsibilities with Arsenal large, his responsibilities for his country are large as well. And Gareth Southgate is a terrorist, and I want him sent to the Hague for what he's done to Saka. And to other players as well. I'm tired of him. So, yeah, absolutely. You're here. He needs backup. He needs to rest. And I'm definitely am concerned about the long-term ramifications of this, because I want him to have a long, fruitful career, and I don't want him to burn out in, you know, 2 or 3 years. So.
Pretty much same. Especially with soccer, it is a really grueling and demanding sport. People get injured, and they do really bad. They get injured really badly. I mean, Jurrien Timber, he was so great in the friendlies, and we were robbed of that because he got hurt. And speaking of someone who had an ACL tear when I was 17, and now I'm 30, my knees fucking hurt really bad. Yeah. I can't imagine what these players are going through physically as well. He needs a break. He is our star boy. We need him, but we do need a replacement 100%. Just because he's young doesn't mean he can be ran into the ground.
Exactly.
This is my last of being nice and positive to this club. I made this because shares a very strong resemblance to somebody.
Oh my God.
And every single time he shows up and he tears up, I post this. And it's been a couple times. The moment I saw him, that's the first thing I did. I did the Leo DiCaprio point, and I was like, oh, that's a guy from American Horror Story.
Buddy needs a nap. Buddy needs to learn how to sleep more than 2 hours a night. Tired. What the heck?
Bro is so tired. And I think, like, when the bags are the heaviest, that's when he cooks the most. So I'm like, do we want him on a sleep plan?
Sneaky.
Or do we just want him deprived? Like, I don't know. It's messed up to say that out loud, but hey, let him sleep 3 hours. It's okay.
Oh man, what is Arteta doing to him? He just like calls him every 3 hours to make sure that he's still awake. I don't know what's going on. But what I would like to, just for time, I'm going to skip past thoughts of season because I think we did a pretty good job at covering the season. What I would like to talk about is, and it's a segment that it's supposed to be the previous five games, but I'm making a pivot, baby.
Oh,
I'd rather look at the final five games of the Premier League season for each club because it's really interesting. And by interesting, I mean you guys have it way harder than we do. And so I'll start with City. City, their final five games are against Brighton, Nottingham Forest, Wolves, Fulham, and then West Ham. Whereas Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, Bournemouth, Man United, Everton. And Bournemouth and Everton will need wins because they will be very close to relegation. Obviously, Chelsea, Tottenham, Man United, they're not going to just roll over against you guys. And Chelsea could be in a real dark spot by then, and they'll need every win. So it's...
You said that like they're not in a dark spot now.
Yeah, but that's a lot, man. So it's not too bad.
Have you seen where they sit in the table?
I think it could get worse. I legitimately think it could get worse.
And I hope
second half, the bottom half of the table.
Fast. Let it get worse.
And I hope it does. I will kick them while they're down. I am that person. I am 100% a Chelsea hater for life.
I love it.
Paulina standing on business. I couldn't agree more. I tried.
10 toes down. Yes.
Facts.
Okay, so, but Chelsea, Tottenham, like you're having to face back there. You just battle for London back to back. And then Bournemouth, they should be an easy win, but I feel like they give random teams tough outs. And then obviously Man United, Eric Ten Hag is going to be working for his job. Which oddly enough, I feel like they're going to keep him. I don't even, again, like Max said about Liverpool, we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to talk about United either. But, and then Everton, it's just, I feel like Everton, their whole thing is kind of like pissing in people's Cheerios. So for them to have the chance to ruin your season, I think that could be very tough for you all. So
out of that 15 points, it's five matches, 15 points available. How many points do we think Arsenal get out of that? Because I think, just being honest, it's probably... I want to say 15 out of 15, to be honest with you. I mean, they have Chelsea at home. They go to Tottenham, Bournemouth at home, Man United on the road, and then their last game is at home against Everton. I mean, does anything out of that really – maybe I'm just trying to put pressure on them. They should get 15 out of 15, and if they don't, maybe they lose the league because they didn't get 15 out of 15. Maybe so I can put some mental pressure on some folks.
I'm going to say real quick, I think in that run, I'm going to say 13 out of 15 would be a success for us because I say that with every game, there's a VAR differential. So – I'm going to say that we're going to go 13 out of 15. And I'm going to say that because not only with VAR, but what Max said earlier about, you know, ask me in November how we were going to do, or ask me even 3 weeks ago how we would do, I would say something different. But I saw a change in this Arsenal team when they smacked West Ham and then they went and smacked Newcastle, who stole points off of us last year. The Arsenal team of last year would have got battered by West Ham again, would have got cooked by Newcastle again at home. So this is a different Arsenal team. They have more steel in the back. They're a little bit more grittier. They shove a little bit. They have a little bit of nastiness. Xhaka used to be our enforcer, so we missed that during the first half of the season. But now that that enforcement has kind of permeated throughout the whole group. So these guys are dogs, and I think they're ready to go get it. And if they get 15 out of 15, I will be elated, but I just see 13 out of 15 there.
Agreed. And I mean, like I was telling you, Krunk, earlier, like for me, like I always bet against Spuds no matter what. I make a lot of money doing that. So I'm going to keep doing that. But yeah, I think 13 out of 15 is really realistic.
I think Everton, Bournemouth, and United are light work. We've won at Old Trafford way too much in recent seasons, not for me to be confident repeating that. Chelsea are always an interesting one. They have the capacity to get absolutely rolled. They also have taken teams to some pretty ridiculous games this season. I'm remembering a certain 4-4 from earlier in the year. They have the capacity to take teams to the wire. That being said, we beat them at their home stadium, and we are pretty rock solid at the Emirates right now, so I'm hopeful. But Spuds away at the toilet bowl scares me. That actually sounds like a terrible euphemism, but Spuds away at the toilet bowl scares me just because it's a North London derby. You never know what to expect. And by the way, have you seen their schedule? They play City, Arsenal, and Liverpool back to back to back in that little run. I will never say I feel bad for them, but that's not a fate I wish on many people.
They can be kingmakers, depending on what, you know, they have the ability, or I guess the teams that beat them have the ability to, you know, to make their own way, but they will have just as much influence on the title as the three teams that are actually in it, potentially.
And to look at that run, I'm going to, you know, check my sources on this one. I think I'm right, but I'm pretty sure that we are the last team in that gauntlet that they play. Let me check it out. Am I wrong? Yeah, so they've got us and then Liverpool. Okay, so I am wrong. But it's very close back to back. And I don't know. They're the one team that makes me nervous out of this crew.
Mashed potatoes out of them. I don't give a fuck.
Fact.
I will never.
Yes.
I wish. That's the energy I want.
Yes.
But they scare me.
Real quick to kind of talk about the subject just one more time. So someone said something similar to what we're kind of talking about right now. I'm going to read the tweet out. This is from an Arsenal fan. His name's Simi. He said, if we beat Bayern, we play Chelsea at home, City at home, City away, Spurs away, all in the space of 14 days. And I responded. I said, hey, man, big dogs got to be big dogs. I wouldn't want it any other way. Big dogs got to be big dogs. City isn't sitting here scared of people. I don't know why we're sitting here scared of anybody. You got to be big dogs if you want to win titles. That's just how it is. I want the grind. I don't want to run away from it. And I think our guys can handle it.
I mean, hey, guys were built three in every position over this last summer, specifically for this moment. So
yeah, exactly.
I you're right. I don't want to hear any excuses.
I don't want to hear it.
That was the last part that I think, and I'll let T jump in quickly. That mentality I think is important. The reality is I think that both of our clubs have to understand that there's in all likelihood dropped points coming still.
Yeah.
We have to understand that's going to be the case of it. But again, you're spot on. I haven't spoken much because I'm taking in all of this talk from Arsenal and trying to understand and soak it in as much as I can, because I think very much it is what we felt a few years ago and trying to be able to get to where we are. Looking at it from this perspective now, though, you're going to have to prove it and you're going to have to take it at our home. And I think if you do that, that's when I think we can start having even bigger talk conversations, even saying that if it's a draw or a loss for City on Sunday, it's a little bit more detrimental to us. But even then, I still have to see it because of what we're talking about right here with the matches. But the mentality you have, Byron, I think spot on with what it should be.
Definitely appreciate it.
I don't even think that this is not what I was going to say earlier, but to be honest, I don't even think that Arsenal is in first place when they get to that last five matches, because I think there's going to be drop points ahead of that. The Bayern, the two matches against Bayern is going to make those earlier matches a little bit more difficult. Trying to mm-hmm. Schedule and just being the competitive, everything that you're gonna have to put into those matches is going to, I think you're gonna drop some points there. So those last five matches, even if you go 15 for 15, doesn't guarantee you the title, because I don't think you'll be in first place at that point. What I was gonna say though, to Mac's point about Tottenham and them having the ability to be kingmakers, and the thought that, the order that those matches are gonna be played. The match, we were technically on the schedule to be their first one right out of that run, but because of the FA Cup, it's been postponed.
Sure.
That's the week that we're actually in Chicago. So we won't play them probably until very late in the season. So maybe it's already decided at that point, or maybe I should pay attention to if we're playing them here. Where are we playing them?
Let me check that out for you.
Because, going to Tottenham is always a bad thing for us.
It's at Tottenham.
Yeah. Is it? It is. That's always been.
It's at the bowl.
We did it, but
it's done. I'm not doing any of it anymore. We've always handled them. The only problem was Tottenham away. We've now broke that curse. It's done. It's over with. What I will say is, it's what I think I hate the most about Arsenal is the fact that it does at moments, and it was kind of hinted by my show, bro. It's almost like looking into a mirror where it's seeing the style, where it's more open, it's fun, it's playing, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, the way that this league goes, if I want to play in all these competitions, it's so intense, we got to slow things down a little bit. We got to focus more on possession, be a little more pragmatic, focus on the defense. And now can you guys break that hump? What I will say separates what Arteta is doing at Arsenal and what Pep has done at Man City is the history. You guys obviously have the history of success in the Premier League, success just in general, where Pep had to bring that whole mentality, that mindset, where Arsenal was just like, hey, we just need to remember who we were. Yeah, that's kind of the difference. And you would like to believe that Arteta can bring that out of you guys, since he was a part of, the best that Arsenal has shown in a while. So it's interesting, because I don't want to root for you guys, because if you guys win, that means we don't win. But in the grand scheme of like a football story, it is a good story. It just sucks that it happens to be, Arsenal and all that other stuff.
It's beautiful, baby.
Us losing.
Well, I just wanted it to be then.
Better story than a Klopp send off, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Oh, 1,000%.
Nobody wants
to. And pumping up the crowd. Whoa. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I don't want to see that for sure.
At all.
if there was a, a lesser of two evils approach here, then I would say you all winning would be the lesser of two evils. But I don't concede anything at this point. You're gonna have to show me before I say that it's over. So we'll see.
I won't even take part in such mockery part of a conversation. This is unintelligent and lack of education. Quite frankly, this is dumb, and this is beyond all of us. And I'm disappointed in each and every one of you that entertained this shit.
Amen.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for bringing us to earth, Lando.
We had moments there where we were rubbing on Declan. I'm going to have to go back and look at the videotape, because I heard Rodri was brought up, and I want to make sure we're very, very clear here on the facts. And the facts state that Rodri is the best defensive midfielder on the planet. But Declan Rice is...
And any other planet that you can think of, too.
Yes. But Declan Rice is really, really fucking good. Like, I want to make sure I'm clear. He is really, really fucking good. Okay? This is a good conversation to have. And compared to the dumb conversations I have, like trying to compare Saka to Foden. Those are dumb conversations.
Yeah, stop that shit.
It's dumb. One can play multiple possessions. The other one's just a winger. It's just dumb. I don't get it. It's one has multiple trophies. The other one's still yet to prove himself. It's just dumb. It's just dumb.
Speak on it.
So I really think we should focus on the Rodri and Declan because that's where there's more validity. That's where there's good convo and how they do with the midfields and how the tactics are being asked to do different things.
In other news, doesn't work. Lando and I are fighting in the parking lot after this.
He says later. Some things, bro.
We can sort that later.
Facts.
Yeah, we're all meeting in Chicago.
All I want to say, I'm
meeting you for your birthday. For your birthday.
Plug Chicago.
Go then.
Jets Sharks little dance off before we get into a little gang war.
Yeah, for sure.
I was more thinking Anchorman style, but that's just me.
I love that.
It was a ripoff of that. What are you talking about?
I'm well aware that
he said you're old enough to know what it was a ripoff of.
Mac said that in the beginning when he was like, I know I look younger than everybody else. I was like, fuck you, bro.
Can I take 30 seconds though to make fun of another fan base, the Man U fan base? Because I don't want to let this shit go. So
please, I'm getting my mic.
30 seconds. Casemiro was the
90?
Best
can you go to 90? 90 seconds, please.
In the league. They said Casemiro was the best DM in the league. Declan comes. Rodri's cooking. Has anyone heard from Casemiro?
Brother, Douglas Luiz is a better player.
I'm worried about, bro. Is he in Manchester still? Where is he? I haven't seen the man. If you see
Douglas
Casemiro,
Luiz is better.
Which is very true.
Let him know.
I miss Douglas Luiz.
I'm a rival fan, but I'm concerned about his well-being. Let him know. We're searching for him.
Concerned for his well-being. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not.
Do they still put people on milk cartons in England? Is that still a thing?
On the fish and chips carton.
If Devin's still in chat, talk to us about Casemiro, boss. Please, we need to hear from you.
Okay, we need to end here with score predictions. Are you guys gonna have the gall, the gumption, the confidence, the ignorance to say that you're coming to the Etihad and winning? Byron, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, we're winning 2-1. That's just how it is. We're coming through.
That's a pretty low. I mean, you guys put up a lot of buckets lately. 2-1's
pretty
low.
It's going to be one of those nasty games in the trenches where we're holding the ball. There's going to be a lot of pressing back and forth. It's going to be a nasty, gritty win because City's not going to give anything up at the back end anyway.
It's and would you agree? I kind of like that prediction. Would you agree going in that route, it favors the home team?
I think it does, yeah.
In any situation, a gritty match tight between two really offensive contending teams, wouldn't it favor the home team?
I feel like it would favor the home team, but our set pieces, man, like y'all have
scary
trees in the back line. I'm not gonna lie.
Scary.
Y'all have trees in the back line, but our set pieces are sexy.
Yeah.
So I'm saying 2-1 us.
I'm saying 3-2. I think it's gonna be 2-2 a lot of the game. Sorry, my boyfriend's already getting bored with the soccer talk. I think it's gonna be 2-2 for
real.
I just really
want you to tell
time.
The truth and admit that Man City is gonna win this match. That's right? What I'm saying. Like, he don't want to say it.
On.
He's like, told bro. We talk we here. He just said, just tell the truth, shame the devil.
I think it's going to be 2-2 for a really long time. I think it's going to be like 90-minute, like, screamer. And like I said, I'm using up all my birthday wishes on Saturday.
Yes! Oh, my gosh.
Shane had a concussion. I don't like this.
I'll be honest. I don't know where to go with this one. Because frankly, my soul wants it to be a big win, right? And I think this is one of those matches, not to use a cliche, that could go any way. If you looked at the way we played last time, frankly, neither of us deserved to win at the Emirates. It was a chess match between two teams that were too tactically suited to playing the other. And it was, in the end of the day, a deflected goal in, you know, the 87th that won it. Even in the Community Shield, right? We could not be separated. And it took... like, you know, a goal from us and then penalties, right? there are two teams that and two managers who are unbelievably well suited to playing one another. For that reason, I think I'm going to go a 2-2 draw. I think we score early. You guys probably take a lead back. We equalize, and then it's a stupid stalemate. I'll go right in the middle of those two, which I'm probably more confident than that, but the Arteta pragmatist in me rather than the Arteta lunatic in me has that prediction on lock.
Oh, yeah. And Devin, he's answered.
Yes. He knows. Thank you, Devin. Shout out you.
Shout out with ball knowledge.
He's right. He's right.
So real.
Absolutely, knowledge from that Man United fan.
I'm sure that hurt typing that in. Oh, Catherine.
Not as bad as those wages. Those wages are worse, Papa. If he feels bad typing that, just go look at the wage structure real quick. He'll be okay.
All right, Show Bros. What do you? I mean, I'm gonna ask you again in a couple of days, but oh my god!
Oh my god!
Devin is real, bro.
My lord.
He's basically a bar of soap that's almost finished. Oh my god.
Bro said he ran out of suds.
Devin, my boy, I'm gonna have, you have officially earned an invite to Shades of Blue show. Somehow, some way. Please so message real. Me. I'm gonna find you on Twitter. So real. Like, we gotta bring you on now.
Devin, we salute you, bro. We
just
salute you.
Yo, I'm saluting Devin, but I'm not letting Max comment just go on. Man said he ran out of suds.
Ran out of suds. Oh, bro.
I love that.
Lando, Tarek, we'll start with you, Tarek, because I'm very intrigued. How do you think this match is going to go?
Like I said the other day when we recorded, I think it'll be. I actually have it the same as Paulino. I think it'll be 3-2. Of course, I think City will pull it out. I think to Max's point, the matches we've played previously, a neutral site and an away match, and we couldn't be separated. I think the Etihad is a fortress. I think it is the if you want to use the 12th man, it's the thing that pushes us over the top, and I think we get the win.
3-2.
If I'm wrong, I challenge anyone in the chat and anyone to get in my DMs at Lando Martin, LandoMartrne at Twitter. That's about it. 2-0 City. It's going to be close throughout the whole time. We're going to break away at the end. A Haaland goal. He's inevitable. And the Etihad would show what it is. I have not felt confident about this all week. I've been quite nervous. In fact, I thought Max breakdown was really good. It's going to be tight. I don't want you to think 2-0 or 2-0 makes me tell you that it's going to be that much of a difference. It's going to go back and forth. Max breakdown and analysis of the last two games is spot on. It was neck and neck, really trying to feel each other out. Two managers doing the tactical thing. But I think there's going to be a little bit of separation there towards the end of the match. 2-0, the City.
I think the only thing that maybe I haven't accounted for is just really what the impact of the injuries that we've suffered during the break, what that is going to have on our team and our lineup. Of course, we think Kyle may not be able to play. We know Stones may be out. I think the Stones miss is a big one, but I still think we pull it out.
I hear everything that everybody has said, logic.
You about to say six, aren't you? Go ahead and say it. Say six.
Tarek, can you like let me land, please? Can you let me land?
Go ahead.
Like you we have obviously been together for a very long time that I can say two words and he cuts me off. Like, what are you doing, my boy? Yes.
I'm just yes, egging boy. You on. I'm just hyping you up. Come on, say it.
Six. I think I hear you say it. It's happening. Six. Two. I'm going to give you two because you're nice like that. I'll give it to you. But I don't even know how we're getting the six, but it's happening. It's going to be overwhelming for all of us. Just when it happens, just like, hate you, Crunk. I hate you, Crunk. I hate you, Crunk. Thank you.
Just know that if Arsenal does win, I'm sending you all a bottle of Malort.
I'll drink it live on a stream and just consistently become a more and more degenerate of a human being.
You know when you lose a FIFA game really badly and you have to film an apology video? Crunk, if City would...
Wait. What? You do that?
I personally know because I don't lose that bad, but...
If I lose, I ain't sending you shit.
No, often. What I'm saying, if we hold six at City, I will be in the DC Arsenal bar. I will film a video of myself apologizing to every one of you for disrespecting City. It's not going to happen. It just won't.
You're so right.
It's just not going to happen.
You're so right. I don't side with. I don't think any of us side with Kronk. I want to stay for the record.
It was right there on his tongue, and I wanted him to say it with his chest. I didn't want him to back off of it. I wanted him to say it.
No, I'm going to say it.
He said it.
And I'm going to say it again on Sunday, right before the match kicks off. Six, baby. And honestly, I might be more brash and take away one of your goals. Nah, 6-1 now.
Hey, you know what's gonna happen? If we get an early goal, and it's like, oh my god, is it really gonna be six? Are they really gonna get six on us? Oh my god, they're gonna be freaking out.
I'm gonna be so hungover from my birthday that I don't think I will fully understand what's going on until like end of the game, and I know that because I remember New Year's Eve Manchester City Arsenal. I was in Chicago. I was holed up in a 4 a.m. bar until we had to go back to the bar to watch the game.
Yes.
I was in hell for that game. That was the drunkest I've ever been on a New Year's as well. And I woke up the next morning. I had like four friends stay the night at my place. Two of them are City fans. And I like woke them all up at like the crack of dawn to watch this game. Misery.
Imagine me, someone who is still in their fucking party dress from the night before, shows up to the Arsenal bar, and because everyone knew that I was going to be there, there's multiple shots of Malort lined up for me.
Oh,
good night.
Did I take them? Of course. Do I remember? No.
Oh, man, I love it. Well, Paulina, Mac, Byron, Paulina, we'll start with you. Please let listeners know how they can find you.
You guys can find me on all socials. It's going to be at Hair Metal Dad on everything.
Byron?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. Twitter, I'm at Beast, so B-Y-S-T. On Instagram, I'm at Beast Photo, so B-Y-S-T-F-O-T-O.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mac?
You can find me all socials, specifically Instagram and Twitter, at MacJohnson22152, and also on the weekly uploads of the Arsenal Cannon podcast on Spotify and streaming everywhere. Got to rep the homies. I am kind of cheating on them right now. So, yeah, come on.
Let's go.
Sad to see Bahia's getting their asses kicked right now. But it's fine. Lando, Tarek, starting with you. Tarek, let people know where they can find you.
Shady Gang already knows how to find me, man. They don't need no more reminders.
It is what it is, right? Subscribe to us, like us, thumbs up, all those fun things. You know the vibes. We will be back here tomorrow. I don't want to say here. It'll show up on YouTube, but mainly on the Homies Fan Fest Live. We got our lit stream, three most dope guests, Death Waits. They're a fantastic metal band. They also are City fans. Then we got Sony M. She's a Brighton fan. Do not hold that against her. I know they're a little shaky at the moment, but she's fantastic. What? Everyone reacted like I said something mean. Everybody gets so reactive. I'm spicy.
They're in the trenches, dude.
Brighton's not looking great. They're not looking great at all. Oh, man. And then the homie Charlie Core, he is a Brentford fan. Shout out to Brentford, New York, OSC. And then Sunday, we'll be there for our kickoff shows. Our little pre-match shows. It's going to be a good time, Shady Gang. You know the vibes. Shady Gang. Shady Gang. Shady Game.